This medical update on KRDO News Radio is sponsored by Optum.
Welcome back to KRDO's Morning News. It's our Ask the Doctor segment. October is National Bone and Joint Health Month. And joining us, as he has all throughout the month of October, Dr. Ben Cam, orthopedic surgeon for Optum. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cam.
Thanks, Shannon. It's great to be here.
Well, so many people, Dr. Cam, suffer from pain from the shoulders. Is there something that's responsible?
Of course. So, Shannon, the rotator cuff is a group of four muscles that are very small. They're not ones that you can actually see from the outside. And they kind of grab onto the ball of the ball and joint, shoulder joint, and help stabilize it when you reach out and use your arm to do certain functions. I'd say that people don't realize how important muscular control of your shoulder is until I explain that the only connection, bony connection, of your entire arm to your skeleton is your collarbone. And so people are surprised by this. They say, how can that skinny little bone be responsible for holding the whole weight of my arm, for example, if I'm lifting weights? And the answer is the bone itself is not fully responsible for that. It's actually very big muscles that attach from your chest wall to your shoulder blade that perform that stabilizing function to allow your arm to pivot and rotate off of that. So when we talk about the rotator cuff, it's an essential stabilizing part of the shoulder for daily activities.
And is there a disease that can impact this?
Well, if we call rotator cuff disease a disease, yes. But some people feel that it might be actually an aging process that we all go through. Uh-huh. That if you live long enough, the rotator cuff itself will end up wearing out.
Deteriorating.
You find that, that if you were to take, for example, 60 men aged, 100 men aged 60 or older, off the street with no shoulder pain, and we put them in a scanner, like an MRI scanner, to look at their rotator cuff, we'd find a high incidence of disease of the rotator cuff. You know, 40 to 60% of those would have positive findings. But they don't have any shoulder pain, so how could that be? Well, we do think that some aspects of daily life can cause some wear and tear of the rotator cuff. But it's only those people that actually develop a painful syndrome, thus the disease, that actually may need some treatment. And the span of treatments can range from non-operative to operative.
Would you say that people who are in physical labor employment or who do a lot of, say, weightlifting, would you say they are predisposed to this, or is it just run the gamut?
So, yes, in general, I'd say that our folks who are doing the hard work on the front lines of a labor-intensive job like construction or electricians, people who have to work at the level of their shoulder or above, so over their head, drywall overhead, pretty notorious, painters, can definitely overuse their shoulder quite a bit. And unfortunately, in some cases, overuse it to the point that they develop wear and tear injuries to the rotator cuff. As I mentioned before, age definitely is predisposing. If you smoke, there's definitely medical literature to suggest that it can predispose you to increasing your chance of rotator cuff disease. And of course, trauma. So if you happen to be in a sport that maybe takes some injuries to the shoulder, or if you do a sport per se, like contact sport, like football or rugby, that can also predispose you to injury.
What can be done about that kind of injury?
The vast majority of rotator cuff disease has a lot of medical studies that have looked at both conservative and operative care, and certainly the vast majority of people can be treated conservatively, meaning no surgery, no invasive things, but probably a formal physical therapy program. So going to an experienced physical therapist that knows how to help with rehabilitation of the shoulder itself, possibly along with some over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory medicine can be very beneficial. And I'd say the majority of patients can be treated that way. However, patients that end up getting referred to orthopedic surgeons obviously may have already tried that and failed to improve. And so those are the people that go on to surgery.
So if listeners would like to get more information on these ailments, you can go to cshp.net. And if you'd like to contact Dr. Kam, just ask for that recommendation. And again, Dr. Kam, thank you for joining us all throughout the month of October and shedding light on this important concern for millions of people, bone and joint health.
Shannon, it's been my pleasure to work with you and to do these interviews. Thank you so much for your time.